I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. She will crush your head while you strike at her heel. As we celebrate the solemnity of the Immaculate Conception, it's good that we meditate on these words, on this proto-gospel, so-called proto-gospel, the first gospel, the first foretelling of our Lord after the fall of Adam and Eve, of a redemption to come, of an enmity, of an irreconcilable enmity between the woman and the serpent, between her offspring and the offspring of the serpent. As an introduction, it would take more time than we have today to illustrate and explain why, precisely why it is that the Church has always attributed this divine prophecy to Our Lady and to her Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. She will crush your head while you strike at her heel. And why it is that today, as we heard in the first reading, translations tend to translate it in the masculine, he will crush your head while you strike at his heel. For the sake of brevity today, from the scriptural point of view, let it suffice to say that both readings are possible. You can argue for one or the other, though the feminine, she will crush your head, does have stronger arguments for it, both biblical and extra-biblical, and it's certainly Catholic tradition to interpret it attributed directly to Our Lady and to her Son, of course. There's no contradiction between the two, because there's no contradiction between our Lord and Our Lady. Both, whether you read it one way or another, whether you read it with the translation of the Vulgate, as the fathers of the Church have always read it, or whether you read it in the new translation, both translations point to the same truth, and this you cannot negate without ceasing to be truly a Catholic. They point to the truth that Jesus and Mary, united indissolubly, the Redeemer and the Co-Redemptrix, will crushingly triumph over the serpent, over sin, and whoever works sin, over the father of sin, and all those who are the children of sin, the offspring of the serpent. So let's look today at a bit more at what this prophecy means, the meaning of this prophecy, because you'll find that all along the Bible, this battle, this initial battle foretold between the offspring of the woman and the offspring of the serpent takes place all along the history of salvation. What does this prophecy mean? Well, the context, Adam and Eve have just sinned. They were created by God, put in the earthly paradise, and they were given just one precept by our Lord to obey, one easy precept. And this they were not able to do. They ate of the forbidden fruit, and God asks them, why have you done this? Adam blames his wife, Eve. Eve blames the serpent, who tricked her. God curses the serpent. He says to him, because you have done this, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. She will crush your head while you strike at her heel. What do these words mean? Pope Blessed Pius IX, when he defined the dogma of the Immaculate Conception in 1854, gave us the magisterial interpretation of these words. We cite from his encyclical, from the Bull of Canonization, or rather, the Bull of Dogmatic Proclamation of the Truth of the Immaculate Conception. He says, the fathers and writers of the Church, well-versed in the heavenly scriptures, taught that by this divine prophecy, the merciful Redeemer of mankind, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, was clearly foretold that His most blessed Mother, the Virgin Mary, was prophetically indicated, and at the same time, the very enmity of both against the evil one was significantly expressed. Hence, just as Christ, the mediator between God and man, assumed human nature, blotted out the handwriting of the decree that stood against us and nailed it triumphantly to the cross, so the Most Holy Virgin, united with him by a sublime and most intimate and indissoluble bond, was with him and through him eternally at enmity with the evil serpent and most completely triumphed over him and thus crushed his head with her immaculate foot. The Holy Father here, in uninterrupted continuity with all of tradition, teaches us that in this prophecy, the merciful Redeemer of mankind, Jesus Christ, was clearly foretold. After the sin, not all was lost. Our Lord was going to come and redeem us. His most blessed mother, the Virgin Mary, was prophetically indicated as the mother of the Redeemer, as his associate in redemption. At the same time, the very enmity of both against the evil one was significantly expressed, and because of the indissoluble bond which exists between them, between our Lord and Our Lady, the Redeemer and the co-redemptrix, our Lord's victories are the victories of Our Lady and vice versa. Hence, Our Lady, just like Our Lord, is eternally at enmity with the evil serpent and has most completely triumphed over him, and thus is crushed and will always continue to crush his head with her immaculate foot. This enmity, the Pope says, is eternal in Our Lady, inasmuch as God, the Holy Father says, inasmuch as God, by the one and the same decree, has established the origin of Mary and the incarnation of divine wisdom. What do these words mean? How can this enmity be eternal? Because before Adam and Eve even entered the mind of God, so to speak, the Immaculate, the Mother of God, was already thought of in relation to Christ, regardless of the fall of the first parents. And though they fell, God preserved his son's mother from having anything whatsoever to do with the sin of humanity in order to preserve for himself, to prepare for himself a worthy dwelling. In view of the merits of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the human race, God had preserved from free from all stain of original sin the most blessed Virgin Mary in the first instance of her conception by a singular grace and privilege granted by Almighty God. This is what the Immaculate Conception means. This is what we have to believe as Catholics. Or in the words of St. Augustine, father of the Church, who long before the Pope already professed the Immaculate Conception was a truth that the whole Church believed from the beginning, he said that all the just have truly known of sin. All of us have known sin in one way or another, original sin and unfortunately actual sin as well. All of the just have truly known of sin except the Holy Virgin Mary, of whom, for the honor of the Lord, I will have no question whatsoever where sin is concerned. Though she was a biological descendant of Adam and Eve, Our Lady was created for Christ and for him alone. So in view of his marriage, she was preserved from that stain of original sin contracted by the first parents. Our Lady was never in any way touched by sin, neither original nor actual, nor was she even in the mind of God thought of in relation to sin. In theology, we express this truth by saying that she was free even from the very debt of sin. Her enmity with the serpent is eternal. But with the fall of Adam and Eve, it has involved us as well. We are her offspring. It plays out, this enmity is played out in time. The battle has been going on since the beginning, since the fall of Adam and Eve. They were tempted, and they fell. It goes on now still, and it will go on until the end of time. It goes on in the world, it goes on even in the Church, it goes on in our souls. The battle continues daily, and it intensifies time runs out for the serpent, and as we move closer to the end. And in this battle, which is becoming more and more intense as we move closer to the end, Our Lady doesn't spare us, neither the battle nor the sufferings or the pain that goes with it. She doesn't spare her offspring the sufferings. She gives us even more sufferings. Why? Because she uses those who belong to her to wage the fiercest battles against the serpent and to crush his head triumphantly. But though Our Lady uses her offspring in this way, with her, everything becomes easy. If we are on her side, if we have her as our general, we are sure of victory. We may go through some tough battles, but we are sure of victory, and with her, everything in the end becomes easy. Without her, even though we might face easier battles, even the easiest of battles are difficult and impossible on our own. That's why on this feast we should remember that we should have a submission, a complete submission to the will of Our Lady. It is she who is the general of the offspring, she who is the general of her own offspring, the offspring that will crush the head of the serpent. and we must have an unlimited trust in her, in her power. Her Immaculate Heart must become our refuge. Our Lady might lead us through some tough battles, trials, raging tempests, ferocious battles against the world, against the flesh, against the devil, battles outside and inside our souls. But with her, we are sure of victory. We are sure of coming out unscathed. The evil one cannot do anything to her or those who belong to her, who place unlimited trust in her. And at the end of time, at the end of this battle, all of humanity will stand before our Lord, divided into two sides, the offspring of the woman and the offspring of the serpent. And there will be no middle ground. There will be no switching sides at the last minute. We have to play out our salvation right now. We have to choose sides right now. So we should have one principle, one only concern, we should say, and that is to be hers, to be immaculate as she is immaculate, without sin, like she is without sin, to be on her side, basically. Because the serpent will strike at her heel, at us. He can make things rough and difficult for us, but if we are hers, he can't do any harm to us. He will strike hard, but with her, we will have victory, because though he strike, in the end, she will crush his head. Praised be Jesus and Mary.